The Stanley Cup playoffs got going last night. The team that I think a lot of people have a rooting interest in. The Edmonton Oilers beat the Anaheim Ducks out of the gate 5-3. Kind of a nasty game. And the Nashville Predators beating the St. Louis Blues. Let's bring in Ren LaVar, NHL insider for TVS Sports. First of all, Ren, you're in Ottawa. I presume you're not in your car.
I am driving, but I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, we were, and by the way, send Scott Moore the tab for your ticket. He said he'd pick it up. I think didn't he say that?
I
may have misheard, but I think I'd take a shot at it if I were you.
You think so?
Yeah, he's a very generous man.
Scott will ask, who's that guy again? To remind me who was.
No, he knows you. Oh, okay. He knows you, my friend. Right, believe me. Good.
Hey, Ren, before we talk about the games last night, Jeff and I were just talking about the Blue Jays and where they go and teardowns and all that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the Vancouver Canucks. They introduced Travis Green as their new head coach yesterday. They have a very difficult pivot to make as an organization. What are we going to see in Vancouver? How do they get from where they are now to a team that could start kind of climbing up the ladder again?
Well, first of all, the good news for the Vancouver Canucks is they hired a guy who knows every young player in the organization. And I think that's the key. That's the reason why he was hired. He was supposed to be hired, remember, last November when the Canucks were going south and things were not going well at all. And it didn't happen. Because Willie Desjardins start winning a little bit more than maybe in October or early in November. So they're going to bring a coach that knows the system pretty well, which is an asset. And hopefully, I think when you look at the way he was able to get success with their farm team, you know that he's capable of bringing those young players and, making their play in the right role. And I think that's the idea behind his hiring, which is always a good one. They're not going to overpay for a coach that doesn't know the organization. And normally those coaches who are coming in with a big salary wants normally big time changes. So I don't think we're going to see that soon with the Canucks. Obviously, they need to turn that boat around quickly because, it's honestly a problem for this franchise not to make the playoffs and not to have a future. Mm-hmm. But I think that with Travis Green, they're going to be a better team starting next season. And, against Willie Desjardins here. I think Willie Desjardins is a good man, a great man. But I was surprised when I saw that he was fired, and there was a lot of tweets from my colleagues saying that he's going to get a job soon. And I was like, I don't understand why he would get a job so quickly in the league when, honestly, it didn't. The Canucks and him were not a good fit, or... Mm-hmm. He was not the coach that he really wanted to have.
Ren, what do they do with the Sedins?
Great question. They should have traded in like 7-8 years ago.
Yep.
It didn't happen. And I'm sorry, is it too late? But honestly, if they would have traded the Sedin brothers, let's say 5-6 years ago, the return that they would have get would have been amazing. Okay. And that team would have been a playoff team after that.
Mm-hmm.
By not making that trade, and I understand why they didn't make that trade. They were drafted by the Canucks. We saw them, see them, grown in the organization. But at one point, you need to ask yourself, okay, where are we going? What do we need? What's my biggest asset? And what should I do with that asset to get something in return? And you need to think outside the box sometimes. And the fact that they didn't trade the Twins, like I said, 5-6 years ago, maybe that's the reason in the last 2-3 years they're struggling so much. They're unbelievable players. But at one point, you need to think about the future and not only about the present.
Yeah. Well, and with them being a package, obviously, look, they got – They got close, right? They got really close to winning it all with those guys. But you know, the double-edged sword of the, and you know, that's the road they went down with Brian Burke and those, you know, because it's they're a package deal. It's two guys.
Yeah,
harder to move two guys than it is to move one guy. And I really wonder. You know, we can talk all about the turnaround, but the beginning of that turnaround has to be somehow finding your way into the post-Sedin era, doesn't it?
It has to be. It has to be. That's the reality. I'm convinced. But it was before. And you know, they're like I said, they're gonna be in the Hall of Fame. I think like those are Hall of Famers in my book. Okay, like you said, it's tough to trade two players at the same time, but you know what? At the end of the day, if all the big stars in the league were traded at one point, I expect that, you know, a trade like that could happen. Obviously, there'll be tons of asset in a trade like that, but I'm sure it would have really, really helped the Canucks, because when 3-4 years ago, every player wanted to get out of that organization, it should have been a signal for management and the owners to say, oh, we have a problem here. All our best players wants to leave. So there's an issue, and we're not going to get better. So let's make a move.
Ren, I want to talk a little bit about last night's game, and we'll talk about P.K. Subban in a minute.
Yeah.
But our friend Mark Spector wrote an interesting column on Sportsnet.ca about Adam Larson and the impact he had on the Oilers. Yeah. And, of course, he was big last night.
Yeah.
Watching that game, I saw a lot of Mark Letestu, Leon Draisaitl, who maybe has been Edmonton's best player from the start of the playoffs till now. You know, obviously Connor McDavid, point a game, he was all over the place. But Edmonton's a lot deeper, I think, than people give them credit for, aren't they?
Well, they have the GM that, you know, the right GM to do those things.
Because that was one of the hallmarks of the Boston team, wasn't it? They were just deep.
Well, yeah, they're deep. Their fourth line, with Sean Thornton on the fourth line at the time, when they won the Stanley Cup, Sean Thornton that season played, during the playoffs, they played 18 games. And, I mean, their fourth line was really tough to beat and to play against. And that's exactly the same scenario now with the Oilers. That's the reason why They call Montreal and ask for David Desharnais, which, you know, and I think David is playing really well with the Edmonton Oilers. He knows his role. He's not going to be a first liner. He doesn't have to do miracles night after night. But the fact that he's there, it's bringing a lot of depth in that franchise. And I'm telling you, the fact that they went and hired the right GM 2-3 years ago was the best decision ever, because he knows exactly when he arrived with a team. It was Ottawa before as an assistant GM, you're going to say, but let's say with Edmonton, with Boston, when he arrived, there was some big flaws on that team, but there was some unbelievable assets too. And I know that there was a lot of pressure on him to make a lot of trades involving all his top players at one point. But the only player really that he traded was Hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last year after the season.
Right.
Which was honestly the right move. And now the fact that he was smart enough to be patient, I think it's paying off big time. Big time. And it's important to be healthy in the playoffs. They are an healthy team, which is really good. The bounce are going in their way. They battle. I see Connor McDavid right now being physical. That's exactly what he needs to do. And you know what? You never know when it's going to stop. I was surprised by the result last night, honestly. I think there was a lot of people surprised. But, you know, they have confidence in their game. And so it's interesting, but it's always start with the GM, guys. It starts with the owner. After that, it's the GM, the coach. But they really hired the right person, and now it's paying off.
You know, like I've learned the hard way not to, like, overreacting to game ones and best of sevens can be a mistake, right?
Yep.
But, you know, I looked at that one last night and you think, okay, it's Anaheim doesn't lose much in regulation, or they haven't in the last long while. They're very tough at home. The Oilers got through the first round, but you got a bunch of players on there who haven't experienced this really. And going in as underdogs and winning a game one there, I think that's maybe a little bit more significant in terms of kind of confidence levels, you know, understanding you're coming home 1-1 at the worst. I think this may be one of those game ones that means something.
No, I'm totally with you. You know what? I always said that game one, game three, game five are the most important games in a playoff series. And you know what? I think I look at Montreal, they lost game one, they lost game five. I mean, at the end of the day, those games are huge. And I remember Montreal losing their first game in a, I'm not going to say it was a fluke. It was a great goal by Tanner Glass, but it was Tanner Glass who's not playing today. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, those games are really important because it changed the chemistry of that playoff series. There's a game inside the game, as everybody knows. And the fact that you're starting game two with a lot of confidence is huge. So we're gonna wait and see how those kids are going to react to their win last night, which I think everybody was surprised. It's going to be more interesting to see, I think, how the Ducks are going to react. They're playing home. I mean, you're not supposed to be beaten by a team like the Edmonton Oilers. You're supposed to be the team going to the Stanley Cup. So with the Blackhawks being now out of the playoffs, so I'm more interested now to see how the Ducks are going to react to the Oilers. But the fact that the Oilers are such a speedy team, they're fast. And I don't think the Ducks are as fast as the Oilers, obviously.
Ren, looking at the Predators win over St. Louis, I've got to ask you, how are folks in Montreal watching that series? Are people cheering for P.K. Subban?
Or they're upset?
Yes, either or.
Maybe both, right? I mean, it's obvious that seeing P.K. Subban scoring a goal and having two assists in the first game like that in St. Louis is, after what happened with the Canadiens, it's another slap to the face. Let's be honest. There's no other way to put it. There's no other way to say it. It's only one game, though. So you have to look at the big picture and say, you know what, it's only one game. I think the St. Louis Blues personally are a better team than the Predators, but that's only me. So we'll see how it's going to turn out. But PK was a beast. We need to recognize that. But PK was always an unbelievable player in the playoffs. I remember beating the Boston Bruins by himself in 2014. He was just unbelievable for the Montreal Canadiens. There was a lot of pressure on PK, and he likes to play with that pressure. So, I mean, I was not surprised by the fact that he was the best player on the ice. I remember, you know, just for people to know, he's the best paid defenseman in the league. So he should play that way. I think he's responding the right way. And for sure, the Montreal Canadiens fans who watched that game last night or wake up this morning and watch the highlights were a little more upset. There's no doubt about that.
Boy, five in a row for Nashville. They look like the kind of it team to me this
yeah.
spring, don't they? And again, I know there are some people, very few people, who anticipated this, but I don't know about you, Rand, but I am surprised, and I think it's gonna be fun to watch them go home again. You know, they do. You know, we kind of gripe about non-traditional hockey markets sometimes in this country and sneer at them, but I'll tell you, they've always had great crowds there.
They have a lot of fun. Their game yeah. presentation is great, and you know what? The players like the market.
They really do, the guys who play there, yeah.
yeah. Unbelievable place to play hockey. I mean, the fans are great. The area is unbelievable. There's a lot of attention on the team because technically there's only two pro team, the mm-hmm. Titans and the Predators, so it's huge, and the hockey fans who are listening to us right now, if you have a chance to go and see a game in Nashville, you yeah. have to. Never hesitate. You're going to have a blast down there.
Yeah, it's one of the – I covered a couple of games down there in a previous job when I was at the Globe and Mail. I covered a couple of games, and it is a great place to watch hockey. First yeah. of all, it's one of the – just one of the – really underrated cities in the United States, first of all. But second to that, just to watch hockey, the fans have a good time. Again, the game presentation is really good. You know what it is? It's a really, and the other thing that surprised me, and they've got some quirky things, but it's actually, it's a really engaged hockey crowd. Like, they follow everything going on in the ice. And they don't need to be told when to cheer.
No, not anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe 10 years ago or a little bit more than that, yes. But now those are true hockey fans. And the fact that they had the All-Star game last year really helped, I think. It was a sign that the league was taking care of that market and wanted that market to succeed. And we had great fun in Nashville. I think it was the last time we had so much fun at the All-Star game was in Montreal. But that was like close to 10 years ago. So it was fun to go in a city like that. And you have the strip just across the rink.
Mm-hmm.
Tough to ask for more, right?
Yeah. Now you're in Ottawa for the Rangers and Senators series. Game one of that is tonight on Hockey Night in Canada and CBC. We'll have the Penguins and Capitals game one on Sportsnet Ontario. How do you view that series? And you know, what will be the early sign for you, Ren, that the Senators are going to be up for this?
Henrik Lundqvist needs to be the Henrik Lundqvist that the Rangers had for the game, the last two games, I should say, of that playoff series versus Montreal. He was able to cover his rebounds. There were so many pucks around him in game one, two, and three. Was crazy. Like, I never seen Lundqvist playing that badly, but he was, after that, he was just the best player on the ice. So if Henrik Lundqvist is playing like he played versus Montreal in the last two, three games, it could be a quick series, honestly. You know what? The Rangers are deep. I think they're deeper than people are giving them credit. Rick Nash is just unbelievable. I mean, it's crazy to see his season, and especially those playoffs from him supposedly being, you know, the Rangers wanted him out last year after the first round. They tried everything to trade him, and it didn't happen. Now, the fact that he's there, the fact that he's playing like that, he's a 200-foot player now. He's amazing to watch. So I don't think, you know, I look at the Ottawa Senators. I don't know if goaltending is at par with the Rangers, and I don't want to be rude here. I don't want to say that Anderson is less of a goaltender than Henrik Lundqvist. But that being said, you know, the Ottawa Senators, in their mind, they are the Cinderella story of this season. So maybe it's going to happen for them again. But I'll be surprised if they beat the New York Rangers.
Ren, we're going to let you scoot. Appreciate you doing this. And we're glad we got you through this without any incidents with the local constabulary.
An arrest-free appearance. That's good.
That's very good. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Have a good one.